The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
It's time. It's time. It's bell to bell time. Welcome in, everybody, to this episode of Bell to Bell. I'm David Sears. I'm going to guide you through this past week in wrestling. Lots of big stories. We have three huge stories we're going to get into, the big stories of the week. The number one story, Naomi was supposed to have a championship match against Io Sky on Monday Night Raw. However, she was pulled from the match with no explanation as to why. There were reports that she is possibly pregnant. A clip with her interview with Jimmy Uso on Stephanie McMahon's podcast talked about how they wanted to start a family soon. This began circulating a lot after the pull of the match on Monday Night Raw. Remember, Becky Lynch gave up her title, her Raw Women's Championship due to her pregnancy. So lots of reports that Naomi could finally be pregnant. This has been something she's wanted for a long time. If it is true, I hate that Naomi, the character, is not going to get to see out her title run. However, I'm excited for Trinity Fatu and her upcoming family with Jimmy Uso. That's going to be awesome. I hope everything goes well. She's supposed to address us tomorrow night on Raw. They haven't said if it's opening the show or if it's in the middle of the show, but I'm guessing that it's either going to open the show or close the show. Much like when Becky announced she was pregnant, she closed the show, giving Asuka the title back in 2020 when 2020 when Asuka won the Money in the Bank match that went through Titan Tower. So that is possibly what is going to happen tomorrow. The other huge story this week are Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux have still not been re-signed by the WWE. There are tons of theories about what's going on right now. Rumors that it's a work, that these two have signed a deal in secret, but they also have a pro wrestling tee show store right now, which you're generally not allowed to do if you're a WWE talent. There was a one exception when Sami Zayn was able to have one for his nonprofit, where he raised money for his nonprofit through pro wrestling tees. Kross has been doing a book tour. He was on Ariel Helwani's show and said that he was not happy with the contract offer that he was given and that they did not offer a contract to Scarlett. So he and Scarlett are a package deal. If you've read his book, like I'm in the process of doing, I've got about three chapters left. He is madly in love with Scarlett and they are a package deal. He wants to be with her. He wants her to be the valet. He does not want to be without her, so they have to be a package deal. Kross has said that he will work the indies. However, some of the people on the indies who have priced Karrion Kross and Scarlett have said that their price is ridiculously high, which leads many to believe that that's work because they're putting the price so high no one can get it. So that way they won't sign any appearances. So that way they will be able to go back to the WWE right away. Some folks in the WWE are not sure, according to Meltzer. Meltzer says that some are not sure if it's a work or if they truly didn't re-sign because they have not heard anything about the situation other than what the dirt sheets have said. I, for one, hope they do re-sign with the WWE. If you read his book, you find out how passionate he was about the WWE, how much of a fan he was growing up, and how it was his ultimate dream. He's already been released once after Vince saddled him with the weird gladiator gimmick with the red suspenders and the hockey mask, kind of making him look like he was one of the characters out of Mad Max. And they also didn't have Scarlett with him then, so he got released. He came back and he made a great name for himself, especially that shoot promo after WrestleMania about not appearing either night on WrestleMania, being in his hometown of Vegas. He had a great feud with Sami Zayn. I, for one, thought when Sami won, that was a sign that he was possibly not going to be re-signed, because it would have made more sense for Kross to get the victory. But as per WWE policy. If you're on your way out, you're going to lay down and let the other guy get over. So it's a interesting situation. Starting to get more stuff where Triple H is blurring the lines between reality and wrestling. We saw this with the Seth Rollins knee injury. We thought that Seth was legitimately injured. Meltzer immediately reported that it was a work, that he had a minor injury, but they're using this as a way to make a big surprise return at SummerSlam after Punk won the title. Meltzer ended up being right about that. I want to give him credit when he is right. He said a lot of stuff that's wrong, but I do want to give him credit when he is right. I think we'll have this resolved quickly. I think Cross will return. If he does return, I think he will be at Clash in Paris, which is on the 31st, Labor Day weekend. I think he'll return then. I think he could go against Cena. I think that would make a lot of sense for him to go against Cena. But then again, I'm not in creative. That's just me speculating 100%. I would love to see that happen since Cena's got Brock Lesnar finishing up. Rumors that Gunther's going to be his final match in December at the Saturday night main event in Boston, so his final match will be there. We'll see. I'm hoping that it is a work, because Cross has done some great work recently on being a psychological heel and picking apart people's brains. I love what he's been doing. If not, we'll see if he goes to AEW or back to TNA. TNA, though, has that working relationship with the WWE. They've got some talents in TNA who have been signed recently, like Indy Hartwell, who was released by the WWE, and she's been there. So it is not uncommon. Nick Nemeth is there, formerly known as Dolph Ziggler. He's been working there with his brother in TNA. So it's not impossible to work with TNA. I just doubt he'd show up on WWE programming. The other big story of the week is TNA is searching for a new TV deal. They want to get on a more popular network other than Pop TV. Rumors say that the WWE is trying to help them get on a WWE affiliated network such as the CW or USA, and there's a possibility they would go on Wednesday nights to go head to head with Dynamite. I don't think they're at the star level right now to compete with Dynamite unless the WWE started sending more superstars there to put their thumb on the scale. I think it's smart of them to get on a bigger network, but I don't think they need to go head to head with AEW just yet. They've got a lot of solid wrestling. They've got a lot of good talents there that are ready to go over. We all know Joe Hendry is WWE bound. As soon as that deal finishes up with TNA, he's made a huge name for himself there. The WWE is highly interested. They gave him a slot against Randy Orton at WrestleMania, for goodness sakes. So we know for a fact that they want to put Joe Hendry in the WWE and strap a rocket to him. He is, as Wade Barrett said, a overnight sensation, 15 years in the making. So now we're going to head to the shows. I'm only going to give you the shows that I watched this week, and I only watched Raw, NXT, Dynamite, SmackDown, and Collision. I did not watch any TNA shows. I did not watch the Triple Mania show. I didn't watch TNA Emergence, which was their pay-per-view on Friday that was airing at the same time as SmackDown. So I am going to just give you the shows I watched. And again, it was Raw, NXT, Dynamite, SmackDown, and Collision. Let's start off with Raw. The opening segment was Punk talking about how he wants to go against Seth Rollins and take back what is his. He gets interrupted by LA Knight. LA Knight and him start bickering over who can challenge Rollins. And then Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed come down to attack. They get taken out by Punk and Knight. And Pierce comes down to set up the tag match, Teddy Long special. The Punk and Knight versus Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed for the main event tonight on Raw. Next up, we had a backstage segment where El Grande Americano Ludwig Kaiser version joins the Judgment Day in a backstage segment where Finn says Dominic should use Grande for help in the Triple Mania this weekend. And Dominic says that's a good idea. So that transitions to the match of a tag team match with Grande Americano and Dominic Mysterio versus AJ Styles and Dragon Lee. Remember, Grande, Dominic, and Dragon Lee are all going to be in the main event of Triple Mania against El Hijo del Vikingo for the AAA Mega Championship. The finish comes when AJ does a insignuri to Grande Americano, who is trying to put the metal plate in his mask. He drops the metal plate to the floor. Dominic sees it, puts on his luchador mask, uses the plate in his mask to headbutt AJ, which allows Grande to get the roll up on AJ for the win. Then we go backstage again, where Sami Zayn's meeting with Adam Pearce for a match with Rusev. Sami says he wants to be in the world title picture after he beats Rusev. Sheamus comes in and says that he still wants Rusev, and Sami tells Sheamus to stay out of the match. Sheamus says he will, but as soon as the match is over, he's going after Rusev. Then we get commercial, another backstage segment where EO is talking with Asuka and Kairi Sane about being disappointed about the title match with Naomi being canceled. Roxanne Perez and Raquel Rodriguez run into EO, and it leads to a match between Roxanne and EO after Pierce runs into them saying it's a great idea. Come back from commercial, Sami Zayn versus Rusev. Sami wins via DQ after the MFTs jump Sami on the outside. Referees ran down to stop the beatdown, but during all that chaos, Sheamus comes out and he attacks Rusev. Then Sheamus and Rusev brawl into the crowd, and it gets pretty crazy as we go to commercial. Come back from commercial with a vignette about Bronson Reed. He talks about earning Seth's respect and being a force to be reckoned with, and he'll be the next big thing. Io Sky shown heading to the ring after that, and she runs into the Kabuki Warriors, and they offer to help watch her back against Raquel and or against Roxanne and her backup Raquel. And Io says, no, thank you. Match goes on. It was a really solid match. EO loses to Roxanne, which was a bit of a shocker, because Raquel gets to interfere with the match. She gets taken out by the Kabuki Warriors, who jump up on the ring apron and are holding Roxanne. And EO goes to give a kick to Roxanne, but as she starts running, Roxanne falls, and the Kabuki Warriors are on the ring, so she pulls up not to hit them. Then Roxanne rolls up EO using the tights for the victory. Backstage, after the commercial break, Jay says he wants a shot at Seth for the world title since he never got a rematch. LA Knight runs into him, tells him the line starts behind him. Then we get another segment where EO yells at the Kabuki Warriors and Asuka storms off, while Kairi looks torn between EO and Asuka before eventually going to join Asuka. Next up was Maxine Dupri versus Becky Lynch. Maxine lost the match, but she looked okay. It was a relatively short match, which it should be, because Becky has the mad skills compared to Maxine Dupri. Maxine's still raw and learning the ropes. Becky wins with a disarmer. After the match, Natty's checking on Maxine, and then Becky kicks her down and leaves. Commercial break. We get backstage again, and Seth is giving Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed a pep talk and talking about how they need to dominate tonight. Then a vignette airs where Bayley says she doesn't know who she is anymore. It's really interesting. There's some laughter being played in it, so we don't know if Bayley is starting to break down mentally. If she is, this could be really good stuff to see her kind of losing her wits and going down a dark path. We've seen her as a heel, but what happens if she's mentally challenged or mentally distressed, not mentally challenged? I could see kind of a Tatum Paxley type role for her, where she's just really crazy. We're not sure. Nikki Cross, prime Nikki Cross when she was part of Sanity. That would be really good. After the Bayley segment is finished, the vignette is finished, Lyra Valkyria is backstage, and she says she's not responsible for Bayley's condition, and she's upset with Bayley because she can no longer compete for the Intercontinental title. Then we get another backstage segment with Stephanie Vaquer talking to EO. And she says, I'm sorry about your match. I'm sorry it went the way it did. EO walks away frustrated when Rhea Ripley enters the screen and Vaquer tells her to stay out of it. Then we get to the main event of the night, which is Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed versus Punk and LA Knight. Punk and LA Knight get the victory via DQ after Seth Rollins runs out and attacks Punk. We get craziness after all that. The Vision are all attacking Knight and Punk when Jey Uso comes with a chair, clears the ring. Pierce comes down the ramp and says he's had enough at Clash in Paris. It's going to be a fatal four-way with Rollins, Punk, Jey Uso, and LA Knight for the World Heavyweight Championship. And Rollins is upset about this as we fade to black. Overall, I'd say it was a pretty solid show, advanced a lot of plots. We're going to see Asuka turn heel because if the Naomi pregnancy rumors are true, they're going to have a heel for EO to face. I don't think they're going to make Rhea turn heel just yet because she's so popular with her merch and she's so over with the crowd. I don't think they're going to turn her heel for the sake of that. But Asuka and EO had a good rivalry back in Stardom. There's a lot of history between the two overseas, so it would be brilliant. And I think it would be a fun feud to go, especially if they're going to make it for a vacant heavyweight championship or women's world championship. So we'll see what they go with the world championship. We'll find out more tomorrow on Monday Night Raw. Next up is NXT. Tuesday night NXT opens with Hank and Tank walking into the building, and they run into Ava, who tells them to stay out of the main event tonight, which is Dark State versus an All-Star Four. But she starts getting something in her eye, so she starts blinking, which Hank and Tank is a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Know what I mean? So they're like, oh, you don't want us to get involved. Okay, we'll get involved. Cut inside where Nia Jax and Last Legend take the opening match. Nia wins. Lash looks pretty strong. I like that Nia got the victory because she is the crafty veteran. Lash is still a young rookie. I don't think this feud is over. It all started at Evolution when Lash eliminated Nia Jax. So I think we're going to continue to see the build of Lash as a strong star in NXT and eventually get the call up. Then we get an interview backstage with Dark State as they say they're coming for the head of the snake tonight, the 8-man tag. And when they get that, they win that, they're going to get the tag team titles. Then we cut to Chelsea Green and the Secret Harvest backstage interviewing possible tag team partners for Tavion Heights. Cause Tavion has said he'll get a partner and take on All Ego, Ethan Page, and Chelsea. They start putting down women, and Alba Fire eventually crosses Kendall Gray. So Kendall Gray steps up to Alba Fire and they will get a match later tonight. It was kind of a running bit, but Hank and Tank were in everyone's locker rooms looking for Dark State in different disguises. They were dressed in drag in the women's locker room and eventually get chased out by Stevie Turner. It was pretty funny. Next up, we have a squash. Joe Henry beats Charlie Dempsey in a really quick match. Dempsey is just in a downward spiral right now as the No Quarter Catch crew is just him and Rin Sinclair. He's lost Tavion Heights. He's lost Miles Bourne. He doesn't have anybody else with him except for Rin, who's trying to build them up. It seems like they're kind of redoing the Chase U, where they just kept losing everything and were a downward spiral. We'll see where this goes. Charlie Dempsey's too good a wrestler to be staying on a losing streak. Next up, we get a backstage segment with Lola Vice and Kalani Jordan. They're warming up for their tag match against the Fatal Influence, and they both say they have to win because they both have to get the championship. Jada Parker comes in and says she's going to be the next in line for the title, but Lola and Kalani don't really pay any attention to her and just continue getting ready and psyching themselves up. Next up, we get a promo from Josh Briggs in the ring where he defends his actions against Yoshiki Inamura, and he challenges Inamura to a street fight in Philadelphia. Inamura comes out and accepts, attacks Josh Briggs. They get separated by security. The segment ends with Inamura doing a dive off the top rope to Briggs and security, taking everybody out, stands up looking strong. Next up, we get a sit down interview with Jordan Grace, but it's helping really build her feud with Blake Monroe. She talks about how she was an outsider at one point, but she let her guard down and let Blake make her feel special. And then Blake attacked her and got the better of her. But at Heat Wave, it won't be there. She'll get her hands on Blake and get the victory. This cuts to Blake Monroe in Ava's office, and she's given a match for next week as she gets ready to do a face-to-face with Jordan Grace. Then we go to another area backstage where JC Jane and Fatal Influence say they'll take on all challengers. But during the interview, Ash by Elegance and Masha Slamovich are seen arriving in the arena to watch the match because they are wanting to get the TNA Knockout Championship back from her. Before Fatal Influence heads out to the ring, Lainey Reed comes in to say good luck carrying on that feud there. We cut to another backstage segment where Obafemi is rallying the troops of Javon Evans, Trick Williams, and Moose. Everyone but Trick is on the same page. Trick is trying to be distant, saying he doesn't need them. Then Hank and Tank come in dressed as exterminators, and they get chased off by Mr. Stone. Solid women's tag match with Lola Vice and Kalani Jordan versus Fatal Influence. Lola and Kalani get the victory. More dissension being shown between Fatal Influence as the walls look to be closing in on JC Jane. She may lose her women's NXT championship and the TNA Knockouts championship, building towards the inevitable of her losing it to these faces. It was a really good segment. You get a Jasper Troy vignette saying he's coming for Ricky Starks next week in Philadelphia. Then nobody will be able to take him. I'm looking forward to that. I think Jasper Troy, he's been built solidly after his run on LFG on A&E, which I wasn't able to watch because I don't have A&E, but I've been reading recaps. I think he's going to be a good beast. He's kind of like a Mark Henry and Obafemi cross because he's just a big dude that just jacked up and knocks people out. Next up, we get Alba Fyre over Kendall Gray. And it was a short match. Alba Fyre was there basically to look strong. And Ethan Page comes up and he starts making fun of Gray, saying, is she the best America has to offer? Which leads to Tavian Heights coming out. He starts yelling at Page, which distracts him as Tyra Mae Steele comes from behind. German suplexes Chelsea, the Secret Hervis, and Page, setting up their tag match. So Tyra Mae Steele and Tavian Heights versus Ethan Page and Chelsea Green has been made official. Yet another backstage segment with JC Jane being told by Ava that Santino Marella has put JC in a triple threat match at Heat Wave against Ash by Elegance and Masha Slamovich, and that Fatal Influence has a 6-woman tag match against the Elegance brand next week on NXT. Then get to Chelsea Green being upset with Ethan Page, who says that Mr. and Mrs. Olympics may only be okay with a treaty between Canada and the United States next week. So we're going to get a meeting next week between Chelsea and Ethan and Tavion and Tyra Mae Steele. That brings us to our main event where Dark State got the victory over Obafemi, Javon Evans, Moose, and Trick Williams. Dark State had taken out Obafemi and Moose. It was just down to Trick Williams and Javon. And Trick abandons Javon, continuing his heel turn. Dark State was able to take him out and get the victory. So Dark State gets strong, looks strong, able to keep their momentum going. And as soon as they get the victory, Hank and Tank run out. They start brawling with Dark State as that tag team match is set up for Heat Wave on Sunday, a week from today. Next up was AEW Dynamite, a very solid show. I will say all the shows were really good this week. I enjoyed them all. I thought they all advanced stories well. I'm liking the competition, upping everyone's game. Kind of like the Monday Night Wars, but it's not exactly the Monday Night Wars because the company chasing the WWE hasn't overtaken them yet. Opening segment of AEW Dynamite had MJF and Hangman in the ring. MJF promises to break Hangman and that he will get his title. Hangman then calls MJF a coward for not using the contract at Forbidden Door and just holding it on, trying to cash it in like a Money in the Bank. He keeps getting in MJF's head. MJF eventually loses his cool, says he's executing his bleeping contract at Forbidden Door, and he realizes immediately what he did. He gets upset. And really good, solid start to the show. I will say it's it's funny to me how AEW fans tend to criticize the WWE opening with a promo every week. And we're starting to get AEW opening with promos. Both Collision and Dynamite both opened with promos. Collision with Toni Storm for the women's title match, and Dynamite for the men's title match with MJF and Hangman. So it's funny to me they're starting to do that instead of starting every week with wrestling, which used to be the good thing about AEW is you just see them wrestling right away. First match of the week is Jon Moxley with Marina Shafir and Yuta Wheeler against Kevin Knight. Get a quick read. Kevin Knight had Speedball with him. Had a recap last week of Mox beating up Speedball and getting kidnapped by Darby. And then Mox talks to the camera before the match as he walks in for his through the crowd entrance. They're in his hometown of Cincinnati. And he says that Darby needs to forget about anything happening at Forbidden Door. Really solid match to start off with. Mox was just beating Kevin Knight pretty badly, taps out Knight, and then Yuta and Marina start immediately jumping Speedball. Darby's music hits, distracts Mox and Yuta. Bailey and Knight are able to get the upper hand on Moxley, and then Marina runs in to save Moxley when Darby comes out, jumps Wheeler, puts him in a body bag. Claudio Castagnoli comes out, attacks Darby, gets Yuta out of the bag, puts Darby in the bag, does an airplane spin, and sends Darby flying to the ring. Yuta brings in a chair, puts around Darby's neck, and it looks like they're going to try to break his neck when Ospreay comes running out to help Darby. He runs off Claudio and Wheeler and challenges the Death Riders to a tag match at Forbidden Door in a lights out steel cage match, which I'm like, all right, I understand a lights out match means it's not official, but why put it in a steel cage? Why not just make it a steel cage, no DQ match, which pretty much every steel cage match is a no DQ match. So I don't understand why it has to be a lights out steel cage match. It makes no sense to me why they're calling it a lights out steel cage match instead of just calling it a steel cage match. That's me. I mean, it's not officially sanctioned by AEW, I guess. So if the faces get the victory, Mox doesn't have the loss go on his record is the only reason I can see doing it that way, but it makes no sense to call it a lights out steel cage match. That's as about as dumb as when the Hell in a Cell match ended in a no contest because Seth Rollins was going to smash the head of the Fiend with his own hammer. I mean, that just, it makes no sense. This is silly to me. They should just call it a steel cage match. That's just me. We'll get more information about that later in the night. Get a recap of Adam Copeland and Big Stokely Hathaway as they get ready to face off tonight. Remember, if FTR gets involved, Adam Copeland can put his hands on FTR. So that is supposed to keep them away from the match. Toni Storm and Athena come out next to watch a six-woman tag match with Mercedes Moné, Tekla, and Sky Blue with Julia Hart taking on Willow Nightingale, Queen Aminata, and Alex Windsor. Windsor got the win by putting the sharpshooter on Sky Blue, gets her to tap out. Athena attacks Toni. They brawl to the ring. Distraction by Moné allows Toni to regain control. Toni gets a mic, challenges Mercedes and Athena to a tag match against her and Alex Windsor next week in Glasgow. Backstage segment shows Renee Paquette interviewing Will Ospreay. Ospreay says he talked to Tony Khan, and Khan is all about a lights out steel cage match at Forbidden Door. And then Ospreay said he made a call to an old friend, and Hiromu Tanahashi will join him and Darby against the Death Riders. Next up, Adam Copeland, aka Cope, versus Big Stokely Hathaway. If FTR gets involved, the non-contact clause will be voided, and Adam Copeland can attack FTR. Cope dominates the match, as he should, against a heel manager. FTR couldn't help themselves, end up attacking Cope. That didn't cause it a disqualification. What causes the disqualification is Big Stokely Hathaway blowing some powder into Cope's face. Makes no sense. The people coming in and attacking FTR coming in and attacking Cope, no DQ, but blowing powder in your face, that's a DQ. I mean, I just didn't make sense. As he's getting double teamed, Christian Cage makes a save with Spike, and then Kip Sabian and Nick Wayne attack, and Cope gets Kip Sabian with a spear and gets a chair, and they get back. Christian with Spike and Edge with a chair get back to back after the ring's cleared. Cope and Christian turn to look at each other. They both drop their weapons. Christian turns to walk away, but Cope grabs him, gives him a big hug. And the guys that have been teaming, tag teaming for forever, look to be back together. Get a vignette with an H in the air for a hook. And then we have some music being played with it, just the H sign. And then we come back. There's a bunch of pyro. And then we get the announcement that the Young Bucks music has been lost as they make their way to the ring. They get introduced as Slick Nick and Mr. Instant Replay, which were their old names on the indies when they were just starting out. Justin Roberts gets berated by the two of them as Don Callis' family makes their way down to the ring. So it's Josh Alexander, Kyle Fletcher, Matt and Nick Jackson versus Brody King, Hologram, Tomohiro Ishii, and a surprise participant turns out to be Hiromu Takahashi. Hiromu Takahashi hits the hot time bomb on Josh Alexander for the win. I really enjoyed it. It was chaotic. It was a spot fest. But that's kind of what you expect when you have all those people in the ring. Hiromu versus Kyle Fletcher is announced for Forbidden Door. They will be wrestling for the TNT Championship. Next up, Renee Paquette is ringside. She starts having some mic issues. The way the stage was set up, the entrance ramp went straight to the ring. So you could just walk straight to the ring from the entrance ramp. And she's sitting there on the ring apron and her mic wouldn't work. So Taz and Excalibur had to fill till they got it fixed. And eventually they do get it fixed, but whatever Renee was going to say got cut real short. So she just goes like, here's Swerve Strickland. So Prince Nana and Swerve come out. Swerve cuts his promo on Okada, and Okada comes out because he's getting tired of Swerve running him down. So he gets in Swerve's face. Okada then does what he's been doing lately and goes beach, and he gets shoved to the ground, leading to security coming out and separating the two as we continue to build towards the AEW Unified Championship match at Forbidden Door 1 week from today, live on pay-per-view. Coming back from the commercial, the Death Riders are going into the extras locker room where the Young Bucks are seen taking their tape off. Marina tells all the extras to leave. So Mox goes in and Yuta, Claudio, and Marina stand guard at the door. We get some big announcements for matches at Forbidden Door. Christian Cage and Adam Copeland to wrestle Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian. Then a lights out cage match with Darby Allin, Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, and Hiromu Takahashi versus Hiromu Tanahashi. That's a different tone, Romu, versus John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Gabe Kidd, and the Young Bucks. So there we go. Don't know why they put Gabe Kidd in instead of Yuta. I know Gabe Kidd's been helping him out, but you know Yuta's going to get involved with the shenanigans. Main event was a non-title trios match with the ops of Samoa Joe, Shibata, and Powerhouse Hobbs versus La Faction, then Ingobernables, Rush, Drillistico, and the Beast Mortos. Ops got the win. Solid match, but nothing to write home about. Final segment of the show is Hangman walking to his car where he gets jumped by MJF, who tells Hangman that when MJF promised to break Hangman, he hadn't seen nothing yet. So Hangman's laying on the ground, beat up pretty badly by MJF. That's final shot. Like I said, very solid show. Lots of plot advancements. Don't understand why the main event was the ops, especially a non-title match. I mean, I know you want to get Samoa Joe on the show and he's back from filming Twisted Metal, but it just, some of their booking is questionable. And again, the lights out steel cage match. So it's a no disqualification, unofficial no disqualification match. Okay. You do you, Tony. Next up was SmackDown on Friday night. Show opens with the MFT in the ring talking smack about how they run SmackDown and anyone who has stepped to them like Sami Zayn, Jimmy Uso, and Jacob Fatu have been taken out. Sami comes down, says he just wants to talk, talks about how he's working on becoming a world champion. But then he says, I've never held the United States Championship. So Solo tells Sammy that he's unable to compete for it because he's on SmackDown. Then Sammy says, guess what? I am officially on SmackDown, which I guess completes the trade of LA Knight to Raw for Sami Zayn on SmackDown. MFT jumps Sammy till Jimmy Uso and Jacob Fatu make the save. Nick Aldis comes out and says the main event tonight will be any three members of NFT versus Sammy, Jimmy, and Jacob. Next up, Chelsea Green and the Secret Harvest are interviewed backstage prior to a match of Piper versus Alexa Bliss. Chelsea's especially not happy with the cake incident last week and says it was a very unsafe cake. It was very dangerous. Peak Chelsea Green. Piper Niven takes on Alexa Bliss with Charlotte in Alexa's corner. Alexa got the win by distraction roll up, and that leads to Chelsea and Alba Fire jumping Charlotte and Alexa with the heel standing tall as we head backstage, where Jade Cargill and Tiffany Stratton are arguing over if Jade should get a title shot again when Nia Jax interrupts, says she deserves the next title shot. Stratton tells the lady she's not afraid of either of them because whoever she faces, the result will be the same. Great line by Tiffany. She's working better on her promo game. I'm enjoying what they're doing with her championship run. I don't know who her next challenger will be, which makes it kind of fun. Next up, Miz and Carmelo Hayes get the victory over Fraxium. Miz gets the victory because he tagged himself in as Melo was about to hit Melo Don't Miss. During the match, Dexter Lumis is seen in the crowd messing with Miz, teasing more tension between Miz and Melo. This is a smart move to me. I mean, eventually going to break up, turn Melo face. And when Melo finally does turn face and turns on Miz, it'll be the big pop. It'll help give him a push. Melo could be a star, man. Melo's got all the variables. He reminds me with him and Trick Williams. It was Diesel and Shawn Michaels. I really like that pairing of them. And then when Trick finally gets to the main roster, they can go after it again. I got a recap of Drew McIntyre attacking Cody last week and says that after commercial, Drew is going to be coming to the ring to explain himself. Before we go to the ring, Tiffany Stratton is being offered the services of Julia by Julia's agent, Kiana James. Now, during the night, I didn't see Joe Gacy, and I haven't gone back to rewatch it. But all the members of the Wyatt Six, except for, there may have been Uncle Howdy and Joe Gacy. I may have missed it. I'm just saying. Only saw Nikki Cross. She was dancing in the semi-reflection behind Kiana as Kiana was talking to Tiffany. Eric Rowan was down the hall looking at Tala Tonga. Like I said, Dexter Lumis was in the crowd, which kind of distracted Miz for a little bit. I didn't see Gacy or Uncle Howdy, but if I go back and watch, I'm pretty sure they're there. Backstage, Nikki, Tiffany's talking while Nikki dances behind Kiana. Kiana says that if she needs help, Julia will be there to help her. Tiffany turns down the offer, but Kiana says that she will regret it. As Tiffany walks away, Mia Yim comes in and tells Kiana that Mia is looking for Julia. So I want to see that match again. It's going to be awesome. Mia Yim is a beast. She is the badass Blasian. Next up is Drew McIntyre in the ring and tells the crowd that he didn't attack Cody, but Cody attacked him. Drew was in the same spot Cody was 5 years ago, and people forgot about him. And last week, he was just coming down to confront Cody, but Cody attacked him. And this is actually some really good heel logic. If he was going to he was just going to confront him and Cody attacked him, and then Kobe clears off the announcer's table, he goes, what was Cody going to do, offer me some fine dining? Oh, that was so funny. I think he said fine cuisine. So he's offering me some fine cuisine. Then he cuts it with a great line that when he is provoked, I am the real nightmare. So Drew McIntyre, Cody's going to be a banger of a match. I'm looking forward to it. Backstage, we get an interview with B-Fab and the Street Profits. They get interrupted by the MFT. MFT says it doesn't matter what the Profits do. MFT's coming for the tag titles. Montez Ford says the Profits are coming for the smoke and they walk away. And then, like I said, Tala Tonga gets distracted by Eric Rowan down the hallway backstage with his giant mallet and bunny mask. Street Profits got a victory over DIY. Profits had B-Fab in their corner. DIY had Candice LeRae. Candice gets involved, but ultimately gets taken out by B-Fab. Montez hits the splash on Ciampa, or Ciampa, for the 1-2-3. Really solid tag match. The tag division on SmackDown is amazing right now. I am absolutely digging it. Now, let's do something about the United States Championship. Makes that strong, but then between Sammy and Jacob and Solo. So next up, the Motor City Machine Guns are talking with Nick Aldis, and Mello comes up to interrupt him to say he wants the title shot. He thinks he's earned it, but Miz interrupts him, says he doesn't want a single title shot. He wants a tag team title shot. And then the Motor City Machine Guns say that Miz is trying to manipulate Mello, and they start jawing back and forth, which leads to a tag team match for next week made official by Nick Aldis. Get a recap of Logan Paul and John Cena from last week. Match is official for Clash in Paris. Get another backstage segment where R-Truth is talking with Byron Sexton backstage, said he's glad his childhood hero John Cena is back. Then he gets confronted by Aleister Black, and a switch goes on, and Truth becomes more serious, kind of becoming Ron Killings, which if they're going to do this where he's Truth and Ron Killings, I'm all down for it. And Ron Killings is a serious dude, while the Truth's a happy-go-lucky guy, kind of like what they did with Festus. Hopefully they don't have to do a ring bell to make him snap too, like they did with Festus back with him and Jesse. But Truth says business isn't over between him and Aleister. Get a hype segment in the locker room before the main event where Sammy, Jimmy, and Jacob are talking. Fatu says he is not sure he wants to know anything about Sammy, and for Sammy to stay out of his way tonight, you know, Sammy trying to make friends. And the main event is MFTs with JC Mateo, Solo Sikoa, and Tonga Loa against Sami Zayn, Jimmy Uso, and Jacob Fatu. The finish was cool. The finish had Fatu get hit by a Solo splash, and he kicks out at two, and then Solo is recovering from the splash. He's in the corner trying to crawl to get tag team help. And Fatu's trying to call to get to Sammy, who's the only person up. Fatu gets to the corner, hesitates to tag in Sammy, but eventually does it. Sammy comes in, hits a blue thunder bomb on Solo for two. And then picks up Solo, hits an exploder suplex in the corner. And Solo's trying to gather himself, stands to his feet, but gets hit with a hell of a haluva kick. And Sammy gets the victory, 1-2-3. Jacob Fatu's like, yeah, you ain't bad, dude. And they start celebrating in the ring. And Sammy doing the Fatu shimmy as the cameras go off was a real funny sight to see. Absolutely love it. Sammy can get anything over. Love that dude. He is an amazing wrestler. I hope we're building towards WrestleMania where Sammy finally gets a world championship. That would make me so very, very happy. All right, final show we're going to recap. Again, I only recap shows I watched, so I did not see TNA, TNA Emergence, or Triple Mania, so I'm just recapping the ones I saw. AEW Collision. Show opens with Toni Storm cutting a promo, calling out Athena for her shenanigans, and then as she mentions Athena comes out and just attacks Toni, and Billy Starks comes out with Athena. They start laying her out. Athena grabs the mic, says the AEW is supposed to be where the best wrestle, and asks why this bitch was representing the women's division. Then Mina Shirakawa music hit, and she makes a save for Toni. And remember, she has beef with Athena because Athena broke her hand at World's End the night before All In. So it ends with Toni and Mina kissing, and then Toni picking up Mina and walking away through the curtain. Then you get a quick recap of what happened Wednesday night with Hangman and MJF. Then we get Jet Speed, Kevin Knight, and Speedball Mike Bailey against the Death Riders of John Moxley and Wheeler Yuta with Marina Shafir. Jet Speed almost got the win when Yuta inadvertently takes out Mox, but Marina grabs the ref's foot to distract as Knight had the pinfall, and he gets basically a five count, but the ref was only there for two. So Knight had the win, and then as Marina gets back on the ring apron, Kevin Knight goes to look at Marina to knock her off when he gets low blowed by Yuta. Mox hit a Death Rider on Speedball outside, And Buda gets their own victory, 1-2-3, victorious for the Death Riders. Then get a fun promo back from commercial of the Outrunners as they're getting back to Mother Nature. No, Brother Nature, to find their roots. Really good stuff. Those guys are over. I don't think they'll ever get the tag titles off the Hurt Syndicate, but we'll see. But they were really fun, having a good time, really fun to watch. Ace Austin debuted. He takes on Ricochet. Austin looked great. Ricochet, who's on a roll right now, gets the victory. Then the Gates of Agony attack Austin after the match, hit the open gate. Ricochet is looking really, really strong right now. I don't know which title they're going to build him for. Don't know if he's going to go after Hangman. Don't know. TNT Championship. Don't know if they're going to let him go after that, if they're going after Okada. But, I mean, heel versus heel doesn't really work. TNT Championships on Kyle Fletcher. So that's another heel versus heel that doesn't really work. So I guess they're building up for Hangman. That's where I'm guessing. We'll see. Then we get an interview backstage with Renee Paquette and the Hurt Syndicate. Say they put MJF behind them. They're all on the same page now. And it doesn't matter if they take on Brodito or FTR, Forbidden Door. They're still going to walk away the champs. Back from the commercial, Kyle O'Reilly is being interviewed with Roderick Strong and Renee Paquette. They're talking about how they're getting ready for their match. And then Ishii and Hologram show up, talk about the conglomerate. Roderick yells, "Kyle!" But he says he's not calling out Kyle O'Reilly, but Kyle Fletcher. He wants a shot at Fletcher's TNT championship, then walks away. And O'Reilly tells Ishii at Hologram that Roddy's just going through some stuff right now, but they'll celebrate with some Skyline chili tonight. Again, they're in Cincinnati. They recorded Collision and Dynamite back-to-back, or Dynamite, then Collision back-to-back in Cincinnati. Paragon defeats Blake Christian and Lee Johnson. And it was a fast match, but all of them hit their spots. It was entertaining. Ishii and Hologram come out after the match to help celebrate, but Roderick leaves before they can all get together. Go to commercial, come back from commercial, and FTR is attacking Bandido and take his mask. And then Brody King shows up and fights FTR out to ringside. He's laying the waste, and Big Stoke gets powder in the face of Brody, which leads to a shatter machine. FTR and Stokely Hathaway celebrate as Dax puts the mask on Bandido's mask on Stoke. Skyflake calls out the Don Callis family for any type of match next week in Glasgow. Scorpio Sky says he doesn't care if it's singles, tags, or trios. He wants some revenge. So, I mean, that was pretty awesome. I liked it. That's a fun little deal we got going on right now with Skyflake. We'll see what happens. They dropped the ball with Scorpio Sky before, so I'm not sure what they're going to do with him this time. I thought he and Ethan Page were a good group together, but that kind of just went to the wayside. Next up, a $100,000 women's challenge with Statlander, Julia Hart, Penelope Ford, and Anna Jay. Chris Statlander got the victory. It was a really good women's match. Really allowed everyone to shine. After the match is over, Tekla and Sky Blue jump Chris Statlander. And then Penelope Ford starts getting involved. And then Tay Mello and Queen Amanada come down. But then Megan Bain gets in, starts to clean house before Harley Cameron music hits. The pop for Harley was awesome. Harley runs down and clears the ring with a chain rat paddle. The faces stand tall. Harley's back in her Catwoman mask. Love it. Love it. Love it. Harley Cameron is highly entertaining. Then we go backstage where Kyle Fletcher, Lance Archer, and Hechicero are backstage for the Don Callis family, saying that they're here tonight, sans Don Callis. Fletcher says he's going to take on Hiromu Takahashi because he's just another name to mop the floor with. Takeshka is about to win the G1, which he did. Takeshka won the G1 climax, so he gets to wrestle at Wrestle Kingdom for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Lance Archer says, as for Skyflight, they say They said they'll see them next week in Glasgow, and that is all for the Don Callis family, but they better be careful what they ask for. Back from commercial, Chris Statlander is interviewed by Renee Paquette, and Harley Cameron jumps on Chris Statlander, and Chris is carrying Harley, and they're having fun talking about how they're going to spend the money. Then Mox and Yuta show up. Mox tells Statlander, damn right. Harley gets down and gets behind Chris Statlander, and then Yuta says that she did some great work out there, so we're not sure if Stat's going to join the Death Riders or if they're just interested in her and the feeling isn't mutual. I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. Chris Statlander is a heel solid. Love her work. She is amazing. I think she is a great wrestler, and she's really fun at the house show we saw her with against Lady Frost. So I hope she doesn't turn heel. She just kind of remains a neutral badass. That'd be cool. Juice Robinson and Austin Gunn. Juice Robinson with Austin Gunn takes on the Bounty Hunter Keith, Brian Keith, and Big Bill. Big Bill and Austin Gunn get into it outside. Keith did a really technical job of working on Juice's leg for most of the match. But the victory comes when Big Bill tries to get involved. Austin starts attacking Big Bill. Austin gets thrown into the ringside barrier. And then as Big Bill comes for a spear, or I guess it was just going to give him a big squish against the steel barrier. Austin moves out the way. Big Bill hits himself, and Brian Keith's looking at that. And then Juice hits his finisher, gets the victory. Then another backstage segment with Renee and Anthony Bowens. And Anthony Bowens is upset that Max Caster will be in Glasgow next week for an open challenge, but he will not be. He's upset that Max does nothing but lose. And why does he get to perform and I don't? I've got friends. I went to the premiere of Nobody 2. I'm on TV. I'm doing media. And yet I can't get a match. So the pride of pro wrestling, Anthony Bowens, he's already turned on Daddy Gunn. We're going to see where he goes with this. Him as a heel, I don't understand. I think he'd be better as a face. Max Caster is kind of getting over just because he's an idiot and it's highly entertaining. But I'm not sure why they're doing this to Anthony Bowens now. We'll find out. Main event of the night is the technical spectacle of Nigel McGuinness, Daniel Garcia, Hechicero, and Lee Moriarty. Winner gets a shot at the IWGP champion, Zack Sabre Jr. at Forbidden Door. Zack Sabre Jr. was not there or anything with that, but they did mention him a lot. Nigel gets the victory. He makes Lee Moriarty tap while Daniel Garcia had Hechicero in a pinfall or in another submission, but Lee Moriarty taps before Hechicero does. After the match, Nigel addresses the crowd, goes over to Daniel Garcia, said he did a great job, and he's getting closer to being that guy. He asks Garcia to be in his corner, and Garcia accepts with Daddy Magic, Mike Menard. Everyone's chanting Nigel's name, and we go home happy. So the way they're building it, I'm going to be very shocked if Daniel Garcia does not turn heel at Forbidden Door. I'm 100% sure that is what's going to happen. Which, again, he's run his course as a face, so this would be some new ground for him to tread. I hope he can back up. He can wrestle. We got it. His weakness is his mic work to me. We've got to get him better on the mic. And I don't know if we'll have Daddy Menard, Daddy Magic Mike Menard to be his guy to do his promos for him. So hopefully he can step up and do it. Well, that has been all for this week of wrestling. We'll get a new show next week recapping everything I watch. If you want to follow me on social media, I'm at DavidSears75 on Twitter, at DavidSears1982 on Instagram, and Facebook.com/David.Sears2 if you want to follow me on Facebook. If you want to support me and you like the content you're getting, you can hit me up on Venmo, David-Sears-14. I'll take anything you send. I'm cool. I'm a shameless self-promoter. I'm not too proud to beg. We'll be back next week. You've been listening to Bell Radio on Tony Curry Radio, and I'm David Sears saying, have a nice day.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.